Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to this belated presentation of the Motzei Shabbos here for Parshas Chayesara. I apologize again for the unforeseen scheduling conflict that precluded my being able to give this year on time. I wish everybody a good Vach and a good evening nonetheless. Since, unfortunately, Chal Yisrael is still in the midst of a very serious and difficult war with the Bnei Yishmael, descendants of Yishmael. We assume they're descendants of Yishmael. They proclaim themselves as descendants of Yishmael. So I thought it would be worth our while to look this evening at the question of Yishmael and his descendants through the eyes of Chazal. That's what I entitled this year. I want to stress at the outset that some of what I say this evening certainly is not intended to apply necessarily to every single person who is a descendant of Yishmael. There are undoubtedly many good, upstanding, fine, decent people among the descendants of Yishmael as well. And what I'm going to look at, I think what Chazal looked at, Chazal was certainly aware of that fact. They were commenting more perhaps on what we might call the national position or the, you know, the broader position taken by its leaders and so on, not necessarily agreed to by every member of the rank and file, though some probably do for sure. Others don't. And even among leaders, there are differences of opinion. So again, these are certain generalizations, but I think it'll give us a picture and understanding of what it is that we're up against, because it's certainly a struggle against the Bnei Yishmael that we're engaged in right now. And our point of departure, the very end of Parshas Chayesara, in source number one, Parakaf Hei, the last of several psukim, starting in Pasuk Yud Beis through Pasuk Yud Ches, it says, Ve'ela told us Yishmael ben Avraham, and so on. And it mentions the children of Yishmael, altogether 12, 12 Shnei Masor Nesin Lumo. So it says in Pasuk Tezayin, and then Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ve'ela Shnei Chai Yishmael, Me'ez Shemaz Shana V'Slosh M'Shana V'Shev HaShalim, Va'yigva V'yomas V'yasa L'amav, Yishmael died at the age of 137. And the last Pasuk in Parshas Chayesara, by Parakof Hei, Pasuk Yud Ches, Va'yishko Me'chavela Atshur, it says where they live, there's no question exactly what these places are, right? And it concludes by saying, Al Pnei Kol Echav Nafal, in the presence or before all his brothers, Nafal. What does the word Nafal mean? Usually, Nafila, Nafal has a connotation of falling or falling down. Rashi interprets it not that way in this pasuk. Rashi, here in Parshas Chayesara, Parakafei, Pasuk Chesos Tus, Nafal says, means Shochan. He dwelled, he lived. And Rashi brings examples from elsewhere in Tanakh where that Shorish, that word Nafal, Nafila implies living, okay? And then Rashi notes something else, though, Der Chadrush, that later on, we'll see, not later on, but actually earlier on, back in the Parshas Lech Lecha, we find a similar expression, but instead of saying, Al Pnei Kol Echav Nafal, it says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Al Pnei Kol Echav Yishkon, we'll come back to that. And then Rashi said, Ad Shalom Eis Avram Yishkon, as long as Avram was still alive, Yishmael was his son, so he was able to dwell, so to speak, in peace, Misham Eis Avram Nafal. He dwelled, but he dwelled with conflict and difficulty. So that already, second interpretation, Rashi understands the word Nafal as having the Lashon of Nafila, a falling down, you know, a coming down. The Ibn Ezra, here in our Sedrin Chayesar, Parakafei, Pasuk Yud Ches, and 3, says Nafal refers to Nafal Chelko, or Goralo. His portion, his lot, fell in these places, okay? That's one possibility. It's referring to his inheritance was amongst all his brothers. We'll see what that means. Oh, Sharov Bnei Yishmael, Nosim, Mokom, and Mokom. There are people who travel from place to place. We know many descendants of Yishmael were what we call nomadic tribes that moved from place to place. Okay, and again, he brings proofs from a different psukim elsewhere in Tanakh, and he says, you know, that perhaps the people of Yishmael moved in different places and came to places where they weren't really originally from and so on, which we find historically is true as the people of Yishmael spread around. They went to different lands that weren't originally theirs. That's what Ezra's talking about. And at the end, he writes, the end of 3, that he died while his father was still alive. I don't understand what exactly that means, but it says that he had fallen down when his father was still alive. He started to fall down. We don't really know what caused him to die. Okay, different interpretations of Shamshon Fal Hirsch. Here in Chayesar, Parakafei, Pasuk Yud Ches says, before Nofal, Nikra Lemokom She'enem Akomo. Again, he traveled or he ended up in places which weren't really his place. And he explains the word Nofal, like from the word Nifilim, the fallen angels, you know, the end of Parshat Bereishis. They ended up falling from heaven, so to speak, and coming down to the earth, the place where they weren't from. So that's perhaps what it means. Or it means Babur Sha'achir Echo Bemizoch Mitzvayim Vashul Amar Eretz Yisrael. His brethren lived in one place, but he lived in a different place. Or again, I mentioned that you know, this idea that That was an Ibn Ezra, but rather Gam Khan Biach Glamim Abochim is Moshom Kros and Masha Yipul Shom Yu. Again, Psukim that define it. So there are different definitions of what is meant by Nafal, whether it is a Lashem Nefila or it's a Lashem of dwelling and so on. We assume that it's a Lashem Nefila, it's because Avram died. It's a Lashem of dwelling, means he dwelled in various different places, including taking over or moving around to places which weren't originally his. That's what Chazal tell us about the Bnei Yishmael. Now in Parshat Lech Lecha, Parak Tezayin of Bereishis, starting Pasuk Zayin through Pasuk Yud Beis, in source number 5. This is the prediction of the birth of Yishmael before he's born. Obviously, if we remember, his mother Hagar ran away from Sarah, and she was found by a well, found at a well by a Malach Hashem. And, he said to her, you know, Hagar, Shivcha Sarah, Eim Zay Bos, where are you going? What happened? And she said, I'm running away from Sarah. And in Pasuk Yud, Armel Malach Hashem, Arba Ezaracha, Veloisav Hemerov, you can go back because eventually you're going to have children, and you're not going to be able to count, there'll be so many of them. And in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Lo Malach Hashem, Hinoch Horav Yoladet Bein, you'll become pregnant and you will have a son, Bekaros Shmo Yishmael. His name will be Yishmael. In other words, so Hagar, the mother, is told before he's born that he's to have this name Yishmael from the word Shomaki, Shoma Hashem El Onyeich. And then it says in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vuya Pera Adam, will come back to that. Yodav Akol Yad Kobo, come back to that too. Val Pnei Kol Echov Yishkon. And again, that's the parallel that Rashi pointed to. Our pasuk here in Chayesor ends Al Pnei Kol Echad Nafal. There it says Al Pnei Kol Echad Yishkon. Rashi there in Lech Lecha, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, and 6 says Al Pnei Kol Echad Yishkon means she has Zaro Gadol. You'll have tremendous amount of descendants, and that's certainly true. Tremendous amount of descendants. That's part of that prediction. Ibn Ezra there in Lech Lecha, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Yud Beis, 7 says Al Pnei Kol Echad Shem Bnei Keturah. Who are the Kol Echad? What do you mean Pnei Kol Echad? Same expression in our pasuk. What does it mean Kol Echad in the midst of all his brethren? Well, the brethren referred to are the Bnei Keturah. Okay, and Rechain Kosov, Bnei Kol Echad Nafal, Ibn Ezra there in Lech Lecha, refers to our pasuk here in Chayesara, and refers to Bnei Midjan, who are Bnei Keturah. They're called Yishmaelim in the Torah and elsewhere, as we'll see. So other nations are sort of identified or subsumed under Yishmael. It's not just a direct descendants of Yishmael, but others as well. And that's a reference, again, towards the end of our Sedra Chayesara. In source number 8, the Torah says, Parakov Hei, in the first Fipsukim, Vayosef Avram Vayikach Isha Shmo Keturah. Avram, after Sarah died in Parshat Chayesara, so later on, he took on another wife. Her name was Keturah, and it says 6 children he had with Keturah, Zimron, Yokshan, Medan, Midyon, Yishbak, and Shuach, and it mentions their children and so on. And again, Midyon is of the most famous one because we come upon Midyon elsewhere in the Torah and in Tanakh as well. Then it says, Vayiten, Pasuk Hey, Vayiten, Avram, as Kol Shelo Yitzchak. Avram gave over everything to Yitzchak. And in Pasuk Vav, Vayivulivna, Pilak Shem, Shel Avram, Nosan, Avram, Matanos. He gave them certain gifts and he sent them away to the east somewhere, whatever that means. Okay, also subject to some interpretation. But here we have other people, not necessarily directly related to Yishmael, or they might be. Because Rashi, in that pasuk, Parakaf Hei Pasuk Aleph, says, who is Keturah? Source 9, Zu Hagar. It's none other than Hagar. Okay, Hagar, another name, Keturah. Not everyone agrees that that's what it means. Different interpretations there too. But whatever it is, so it could be that Midyan, who was again the most famous of the 6 children known as the Bnei Keturah here in these psukim, was actually brothers to Yishmael directly from the same mother. Maybe it was a different mother. But again, Rashi interprets that Keturah was another name for Hagar. And as noted, we find that Midyan and Yishmael are closely related. Okay, in fact, they perhaps just subsumed one under the other. In Parshas Vayeshev, we'll read in a couple of weeks, Parshas Perek Lamed Zayin, this is when Yosef's brothers sell him into slavery. So in Perek Kaf Hei, Perek Lamed Zayin, Parshas 10, it says, Vayeshu lechalechem, they sat down to eat and so on, Vayisu Einayim, after they threw Yosef into the pit, that is, Vayisu Einayim, Vayuminer, Orchas Yishmaelim, Bo Megillah. They saw a caravan of Yishmaelim traveling. Okay, coming past this area and what they were carrying and bringing with them to go trade in Egypt. And that's when Yehuda said, what should we throw him into the pit for? We can make some money out of this deal. And Pasuk Chav Zayin there in source 10, Lechu v'nim keren l'Yishmaelim, let's sell him, meaning Yosef was in the pit, let's sell Yosef to the Yishmaelim and not harm him and so on. And then Pasuk Chav Ches says, V'yavru anashim midyanim. Suddenly it mentions midyanim socherim, Midianite traders. Wait, what happened to Yishmaelim? I mean, just talking about Yishmael. Where did Midian come in? So it says there were Midianim. And then Vayalu is Yosef ben Abor. They took Yosef out of the pit. And they, Vayimkur is Yisrael Yishmaelim. Again, who are the pronoun, who are the antecedents of the pronoun? They sold him to Yishmaelim. So Rashi comments, right? There in Parsh Vayesh, Parak Lamazan, Pasuk Chav Ches 11, Rashi comments, "Everyone Hashem Yidinim Zuhi Shara Acharis." It was a different caravan, a different group, and it tells us that Yosef was sold around a number of different times. There were Midyanim and Yishmaelim. The next Rashi says, "Vayim Shechu." There in Pasuk Chav Ches, the second part of 11, Bnei Yaakov is Yosef on aboard. The children of Yaakov took him out of the pit. They sold him to Yishmaelim. They sold him to Yishmaelim. Yishmaelim Midyanim. Yishmaelim sold to the Midyanim. Midyanim sold to the Egyptians, and it was sold around. So were different people. However, Ibn Ezra there in Parshas Vayeshev, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chachas 12, Vayavru b'chashir avru alayim ha'yishmeilim ha'sorchem, ki ha'midjanim yikru yishmeilim. It's the same people. Okay, it was one group. There was one caravan. They're called Yishmaelim. They're called Midjanim because it's the same people. They're the same group. Okay, and they're Yishmaelim. Yishmaelim are called Midjanim. They're interchanged because, again, they're all from the same family. And Yishmael sort of subsumed various other nations under their wings, so to speak. And Ibn Ezra points to a psukim in Parsha Shoftim, Perek Ches of not Parsha Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim, Perek Ches, Pasuk Chav Beis and Shoftim. So speaking in the time of Gideon and 13, by Umar Yishasel Gideon, they told Gideon, you know, they wanted him to be the ruler over him, one of the Shoftim, because the end of Pasuk Chav Beis, Kiyo Shatanam Yad Midjan. You saved us from Midjan, okay? And Gideon says, no, Hashem is your ruler, whatever else. But again, it says the end of Pasuk Chavdal, Ki Yishmaelim Haim. What do you mean? You said they were you saved from Midjan. Why suddenly Yishmaelim? So that's Ibn Ezra's proof that, again, the Yishmaelim and Midjanim are interchangeable. It's the same nation or the same people. They're subsumed under one. The Ramban discusses as well there in Parshas Vayeshev, Gracious Parak Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chav Ches in 14. He quotes Rabbi Avram. Whenever the Ramban quotes Rabbi Avram, that means Ibn Ezra. Rabbi Avram, Ibn Ezra. So Ramban frequently quotes Ibn Ezra, doesn't always agree with him. He quotes him here, Ki Amidjanim Yikru Yishmaelim, Midjanim are called Yishmaelim, and he quotes various different psukim, and the Ramban is not so sure about that. Is it the same people? Whatever it is, perhaps Yishmaelim ruled over Midjan. That's what it says towards the end of Ramban. Gami Tochen Kishayom Malachim Yishmaelim, Hey Molcho Al Midjan. Again, the point being that Yishmael ended up sort of co-opting various other nations under them. And that's how they grew in number. Okay. And that's why they're kind of interchangeable and so on. Okay. That's what he says. Now the Ramban in Lech Lecha on that Pasuk, Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Yibayis, Perek Odom, we'll come back to that term in a moment. That's the Ramasal in 15. Al Pnei Kalachov Shehem B'nei Ketur Yishkon Shiyagadel Zaro Mehem. His descendants will come through all his brethren. That's what the Pasuk means. Both in the end of our schedule, Al Pnei Kalachov Nafal, and the Pasuk Lech Lecha in 5, again, Yishmael multiplied and became a great and very populous group because various other tribes, from his brothers, whether actually his brothers or they, you know, somehow joined up with him, all subsumed under Yishmael. Okay, now that's one thing we see about Yishmael in terms of both in terms of where they dwell. They dwelled in various places, including places that didn't really belong to them. They went around and as a nomadic tribe and took up residence in different places. That's one thing we saw, and we also saw that they'd have a great population, a sizable population. That's two things we've seen from Chazal so far. In the Medrash here in our Sedrach HaYisora, Breishis Rabba Parsha Samach Beis, Simen Hay, 16. So again, it's contrasting that word Nafal and Yishkon. Here we see for the first time, that I'm aware of anyway, a reference to the fact that Yishmael would mistreat the descendants of Yishmael. I'm not talking about the individual Yishmael. We have stories about him and Yitzchak, but I'm talking about now the descendants. Okay, the Bnei Yishmael mistreated the Jewish people because there is a reference in the Medrash, right? That again, these two psukim, the source number one here in Chai Sora, which ends the Sedra, ends Al Pnei Kol Echad Nafal, and the Pasuk in Lech Lecha, Perak Tesvav Pasuk Yudbeis in 5, Al Pnei Kol Echad Yishkon. So that, again, two different words. So the Medrash points out here in Chai Sora, Hacha Atomar Nafal, here it says Nafal, and elsewhere it says Yishkon. And he writes, Ela kol yomisha avinu Avram kayam Yishkon. As long as Avram was alive, then Yishkon, he dwelled in peace. Kayam shemes avinu Avram Nafal. Okay? All right, that's one interpretation we sorted. But then the Medrash added something else. Look at the last line of 16. Very fascinating. Ad shelo poshat yodo bebeis hamikdosh Yishkon. Until he sort of stuck out his hand against, attacked the Beis HaMikdash, then everything was okay for Yishmael Yishkon, dwell in peace. But Kevin Shaposhet Yodo Nafal, but once he extended his hand, he reached out, he attacked the Beis HaMikdash, then Yishmael had a downturn, a downfall. Okay, and then it's similar, Ba'olam HaZeh Yishkon, Avalasi Lobo Nafal, right? This world okay, but in the future world, he'll fall again. But what is this idea of a reference? Where do we find that Yishmael had anything to do with attacking the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, that's really not so clear. There is a Pasuk in Yeshaya, and others say this as well. There's a Pasuk in Yeshaya, Parakof Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Masob Arav Bayar, right, talking about Arav, Arabia. And it says there, Likras Tzomeh Hesoyu Moyim, right? The people asked him for water. I'm translating very loosely, okay? And they didn't give them water, right? They didn't give them water. What's that about? So the Rashi there in Yeshaya, Parakaf Aleph Pasuk Gimel, source 18, Rashi says, Maso Ba'ar Al Arabim. So we're talking about Arabs, people in Arabia, that's Yishma'elim, okay? And we're looking at the second Rashi, the Omas Vayar, Ro'isi Mash Asisem Behaglos Ashur Es Ami. When the Assyrians, the nation of Ashur, exiled my people, I saw what you, the Bnei Yishmael, did to them. Now, Ashur was a nation called Assyria, which is to the northeast of Eretz Yisrael, not to be confused with Syria, although it's the same kind of general area. But anyway, the nation of Ashur conquered most of Eretz Yisrael about 150 years before the Churban HaBayis HaRishon, before the first place was destroyed. They conquered the so-called 10 northern tribes, the 10 tribes. That's how the 10 lost tribes got lost, because they were taken away by Ashur. So he refers to this God as Rashi does. And the Jews were being taken away by the Assyrians, said, take us through the land of Yishmael. Because Shatem ben Eta, you know, they were cousins, right? We're all from Avram, we're all Abrahamic peoples, okay? And they'll have mercy upon us. And so when they came through, they did it, okay? They did it. And what happened? Pasuk Yadal, Rashi, Likros, Tzamei, they came, they wanted water because they were downtrodden and schlepping and traveling through difficult conditions and so on. And what they did was they brought them canteens or flasks of water, and they brought them very sharp and bitter, sort of sharp-tasting food, salty-type sharp food that promotes thirst. And when they were dying of thirst, they gave them these waters and these canteens, but there's nothing in them, and they died from that. Now, Rashi presents this as happening through the Galos Ashur, which would have nothing to do with, what we said before, the Medrash Rabbah, that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash. However, if you look in Eicha Rabbah, Parsha Beis Simon Dalet 19, this story is told relating to the Churban following the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that may be what the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah here in Chai Sora means when it says, Ad Shelo Poshet Yodo Beis HaMikdash. Not that Yishmael actually destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but in the aftermath of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Jews were taken away, not like Rashi said, by Ashur, but by Melech Bavel, by Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, and they won. That's what the Medrash says. Amar Shimon Levi, that's the Medrash Tanchuma. We read Eicha Rabbah first, but it's also in the Medrash Tanchuma Yisro, in Siman Hey, I was saying 20. We'll look at 19. Shmona Malach from Pichei Kahuna, right? 80,000 from the family of Kahuna. They were taken away by Nebuchadnezzar, and they had the various different shields and stuff that they had with them. And when they came to Yishmael, Hotziela Mine Meluch, and they brought them salty foods and so on. And then they gave them water, but there's no water, and they died from this and so on. In fact, in one of the very first kinnas, I think the very first kinnah that we say on Tisha B'Av morning, in the morning, you know, after the Haftarah, it starts Shava Surameni. We have a phrase there, Al Pnei Paros Nuptu Chasidel. Okay. Jews perished on their way to the Euphrates River because a reference to this that the Bnei Yishmael brought it, sort of tortured them, brought them out empty canteens with water. So that's what the Medrash says here. And the Medrash, of course, contrasts this with what happened with Hagar when she and Yishmael were dying of thirst and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided a well for them, but they didn't respond to the favor and so on. That's what's referenced in this Medrash Eicha and Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Yisro, Os Hey. 20, Amr Shmuelevi, Kishihigla Nebuchadnezzar, Rosh Yisrael of Bavel, when Nebuchadnezzar, again, in the aftermath of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, exiled the Jews to Bavel, right? Their hands were tied, they were bound in chains or whatever, okay, and the Sunim Shal 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 Barzel, and they were taken like animals, like unclothed and so on. When they came to Bnei Yishmael, they begged, listen, take us there because they are our brethren, the Bnei Yishmael, they were cousins, they'll treat us nicely, but instead, Yatsu Bnei, on the third line of 20, Yatsu Bnei Yishmael, Likroson, Hotziulan, Pas Maluach, okay, the tzirima, you know, salty bread and salty brine and so on, and empty, no dos reken, empty canteens, empty flasks, you know, basically to torture them. So it's all the same idea, and it refers that back to that pasuk in Yeshaya. The truth is, Rashi mentions as well in last week's said in Parshas Vayera, right, in Perkaf Aleph, when Sarah throws Hagar and Yishmael out. Avram doesn't want to do it, but Hashem tells you got to listen to your wife, and so he does. And they go out, and then he's dying of thirst. And it says in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Zion, by Yishmael Kimel Kol Anar, Kadosh Baruch Hu heard, and the Malach called and said, Hagar, you know, pick up the child, the water, and Pasuk Yutes in Perek Aleph Bereishis, Vayivka Chal Kimel said, no, etc. So she saw the water, and they got water. So Rashi, on last week's Sedra, Parshas Vayera, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, 22, Bashir Husham, You have to judge somebody by right now, because the Malach HaShor has complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misha Osid Zar Lahamis Banecha Batzoma. These people, this Yishmael, right? This Mr. Yishmael himself. There was a young man at this time. He's dying of thirst, of dehydration out in the desert. And this Yishmael, his descendants are going to torture and kill your children with dehydration, with thirst. And now you're going to provide for him. And famously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well, right now he's innocent or guilty. Right now he's innocent. You have to treat him Bashir Rusham as it is right now. It's the famous Rashi. But anyway, the point being, the same idea. This major. So here we see that the Bnei Yishmael were enemies of the Jews. Okay, and sort of, while they may not have been the ones who actually went ahead to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, okay, but they certainly participated in the anguish and the tsar being caused to the Jewish people, even to the point of sort of making life more difficult for them if they died of dehydration and of thirst. So that's one thing we see about the Bnei Yishmael in terms of their interaction with the Bnei Yisrael many generations later. Okay, it's interesting. We take a look. Source 23 is Psukim in Tehillim. This is one of the kapitlach of Tehillim that many people are saying now, in the time of this Eis Torah. So it's Perek Pei Gimel of Tehillim, Shir Mizmor La'asaf. It says over here, and again, Yishmael comes up over here, and it says in Pasuk Gimel, Kinei Avecha Yamoyin V'Sanecha Nosu Rosh, Alam Chayarim V'Sov Yishatzu Al Tzifunecha. Right? All your enemies of your people are coming together, and the Pasuk Hey, and they say, Omru L'chu V'Nachidem Migoy. Let's wipe them out. Let's eliminate them as a nation. Okay? V'lo Yizocher Shem Yisrael Od. And we're not going to let the name of Israel ever exist again. Sound familiar, right? We're going to eliminate them altogether. Okay, we want to get rid of Yisrael altogether. And Pasuk Vav, Kinatzu Lev Yaakov Alecha Bris Yikos. The other nations made a covenant. And who are they among them in Zion? Ole Edom V'Yishme Elim. Not only Edom V'Yishme Elim, Moab V'Hagrim. We'll see who they are in a second. Okay. Radak comments there in Tilim Perk Pei Gimel Pasuk Hey. Omru Luchunuch V'Nakidei Migoy. Miyaz God, they're not going to be a nation anymore. They're going to be scattered. That's what our enemies want to do. And in Pasuk Vav, they get together, even though they don't get along with each other either. That's what the Radak writes in Vav. These goyim don't get along. They fight one another. But here they got together. They want to fight against the Jewish people. And all the Edom Yishmaelim in Pasuk Zion, Yishmael, Sheboim, Ohaleim, Laharich, Hamacham, Yishmael. Yishmael joined up with Edom. Now Edom, identified with Rome, is responsible for the said destruction of the second base of Mikdash. So we saw in the aftermath of the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, Yishmael jumped in to help torture and punish and harm Jews. Now we see again, according to this capital in Tilim, foreseeing, so it's a reference to the Korban of the Bayis Sheni, that the Oil Yishmael joined up, to fight, and joined up with Edom against the Jews. Okay, and he quotes Psukim that backed that up as well. And by the way, Hagrim, that last word in Zion, Hagrim, who is Hagrim? Okay, it says, Ole Edom Yishmael Moav Hagrim, who is Hagrim? The Radak says, Hagrim are from Hagar. Shar B'nai Hagar, other descendants of Hagar. Hagrim, the Hagarites, or whatever you want to call it. Hagrim, that's the people of Hagar. Ome Avram, Imhaya Hikatur. It's, another Baal Acherite, B'nai Hagar, a different husband of Avram, different wife of Avram, the same wife. We discussed that before. But anyway, all these people joined up, Yishmael and Edom, to be enemies of the Jewish people. So these are two times we see in Chazal that Yishmael was eager to jump in. And when the B'nai Yisrael were down, they jumped in to pounce in, both after the first base Hamikdash destruction and the time of the second base Hamikdash destruction. Yishmael was there to try and attack, unfortunately, to try and attack the Jews. Now, in terms of his character, so it's interesting, we mentioned before the Pasuk in Parashat Lech Lecha, Parak Design Pasuk Yudbei, says he's a para Adam. What does a para Adam mean? So Rashi in 25, para Adam, Oev Midboros, right? They like to be out in the desert, to hunt, and so on and so forth, okay? But Yodo Bakol, they're listim, they're thieves, okay? Attack people who are traveling. Yad Kobo, Akol Sono, some people therefore dislike them. Okay? In the end of last week's said in Vayera, it says in Perkofala Posukhov, Ayelo Kimisanar, Vayigdal Vayeshim, Vayirovek Kashos, he became an expert in the bow and arrow, and he said and lived in Paran and so on. Rashi says, Kashos, Perkofala Posukhov 27, Hoyo Yoshev, Bamidbar Melastimus over him. That's what we learn about Yishmael. Again, he would sit by the, out in the desert, and there, his descendants follow the same thing, and would be lost, and would highway robbers and so on, would rob people. And Yodah Bakol, his hands was against everybody. Again, the Medrash Lekachtov, the Pesik and Zutrasa in Parshas Yisroel, Perakofa, Pasuk, Simon, Bez, and Gimel, we know that, of course, Baruch Hu offered the Torah to other nations, and they didn't want to do it because they didn't like certain things in it. Well, the rule that the Bnei Yishmael didn't like was Lo Tigno, right? That 28, Lo Tigno, who you sold Bnei Yishmael. Okay, that's Paradam, Yod HaBakol, and so on. So that's a characteristic. Again, I stress, is that true of everybody from Yishmael? No, of course not. Okay, but again, somehow this is a little bit in their national psyche. That's what Chazal are telling us. Interesting, the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Mem Hei Siman Tes 29. Who yeah, Paradam, that pasuk. Biochram Shimon Lachish. Biochram Amar Shakol Gedalim B'Yishuv Hu Yagadol B'Midbar. No matter where he lives, we mentioned that earlier. They like to live out in the desert, nomadic tribes, and so on. Shimon Lachish says, Amar Para Adam Vadai Shakol Bozezim Mamon Vahu Bozez Nefashos. Very interesting. Many people attack for the sake of money, right? They attack, they rob people and may sometimes kill people because they want the money. But the small sometimes just does it Bozez Nefashos. Very, very interesting comment. That's the Matnos Kahuna there in that Medrash Bereishis Rabbah on Parshmem Hey Ostes on Bozez Nefashos 30. Para Adam Purusha Yirdof Bnei Adam. They're going to chase after people. They chase after people. That's what it means. They pursue people. The intent to kill. That's what Chazal is saying about many of the Bnei Yishmael. Targum Unklus on that posting Lech Lecha, Parak Tazayin, Pesuk Beis 31. V'hu Yem Marod, a rebel type of personality. Okay? Targum Yonasan on that posting 32. V'hu Yahavim Midame La'arod. Again, sort of like the wild donkey. That's their characteristic. Ibn Ezra talks about their power. Ibn Ezra on that pasuk, the Perek Tazayin pasuk Gedbeis 33, a Pere Odom says, "Anochon beina she ben haodom kipera she natzeach hakol bekocha." They were very powerful, hard to resist. Certainly, we know that the Ishmaeli religion, the Muslim religion, spread originally because all over much of the world they reached deep into Europe by military conquest. They're very, very victorious. Okay, the Rabban there in Lech has a different interpretation. It means again, but he does say they'll make milchama with all kinds of other nations and so on. He quotes Ibn Ezra. Sforno says, Pera is chamor habar. Again, some like a wild donkey. That's how they behave. But what's very interesting, I think, is in its siv. Take a look in 36, the Hamek Dover. On that pasuk, Lech Lecha, Perek Tezayin, pasuk Yibbeis. Pera Adam. He says he doesn't like Rashi's interpretation because he's just talking about his personality. He says, Adam Pera, not Pera Adam. So he says, Avo Pera Adam, Mashmo'o, Shumafri as kol adam b'li das derech eretz v'chashivos anosh. Pere adam means he attacks and you know lords it over other people without das, common sense, without dignity, without derech eretz, without any kind of respect for human life. Chashivos anoshim, understanding the importance of life. Ela kol hefker. Everything is up for grabs. There's less nimel, less nine. There's nobody in charge. There's no law. They can do whatever they want. Hakol hefker uparai. And so it's a free for all. Bozes is how much attacks people because of the lack of respect for human life. And again, I'm not talking about every single person who's attending Yishmael, but many of them we see today. The lack of, we saw Nebuch, you know, on Shemini Atzeres, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, Shemini Atzeres, some story here, you know, on October 7th and so on, we saw such a lack of regard for human life. And Netziv, obviously, is writing this, you know, more than 100 years ago, but still, that's how he defines para adam. I think it's striking. It's a striking comment on Netziv. No lack of, no regard for human dignity or for life, okay? And even on their own, the things we've seen about, you know, reports of Hamas in Gaza shooting their own people. No regard, just to protect themselves. No regard for human life. The Netziv kind of saw that, you know, in a pasuk in his commentary a long time ago. It's also interesting, another interesting pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yitzayin, pasuk Chof A 37. Talks about a gentleman, okay, named Yisra. It says here, it's family of Amasa, and so on. Yoav, the family, so it says, Amasa ben Ishu Shmuel Yisra, Ha Yisraeli. Means a Jew, Israeli, right? Okay. However, in Divrei Yomim, identifying the same person, Divrei Yom Aleph, Perek Beis, Pesuk Zayin, 38, identifies the same person. Avi Yama say, yes, sir, Hayishmaeli. Well, in Shmuel Beis, he's called Yisraeli. And the same guy is called, in Divrei Yomim Aleph, is called Yishmaeli. Which is it? So Rashi says there in Divrei Yomim Aleph, Perek Beis, Pesuk Zayin, Kosel Yisraeli, Be'eretz Yishmael, Hayadar. He was a Jew, but he lived in the land of Yishmael. He was called Yishmaeli. Okay, that's certainly one possibility. Okay, Rashi, that's Rashi in Divrei Yomim. The Malbim, though, says, perhaps he was somebody who was originally from Yishmael, then he converted, right? Yishmael Shah Ger Yishmaeli, and therefore he changed his name. That's also a possibility. But if you look in the Gemara in Yevamos, we find an interesting thing. Ayin Zayin Amad Aleph in the Gemara in Yevamos, 41. Okay, Amosa ben Yishmael Yisrael Yisraeli. He quotes the pasuk in the Divrei Yomim. What is Yisraeli Yishmaeli? Omar Rava Melamed Shachogar Harbo Yishmael. He acted like he was a Jew, but he acted like a Yishmaeli. In what sense? He had his dagger. He had his sword. And now Herod had it for a certain reason. You know, the din that Gemara is talking about there, about an Ammoni and a Moabi can marry a woman, can come into the Jewish people, like Ruth. That's a discussion there in the Yavamas. But again, what's striking for us is Melamed Shachogar Harbo Ki Yishmael. Yishmael are identified by being people of the sword, people of the spirit, of the spears. And therefore, even a Jew who conducts himself or dresses that way or looks that way, he's therefore called the Yishmael. Very striking, because all the people who use the dagger use the sword. Then I'll just mention, I'm throwing it in, I don't want to dwell on it, but the Medrash Esther Rabbah, Medrash Rabbah Esther, Parsha Aleph, Sim Yuzayin, Chel Paras Amadai, says, Asara Chalokim Shal Tipshus Ba'olam, Tisha B'Yishma'elim Ve'echad B'chol Olam. Okay, there are 10 measures of tipshus that came down to the world, and of silliness and foolishness, and Ishmael took 9 of them. Okay, so these are some of the things which Chazal teach us about, you know, about Yishma'elim. Now, in terms, though, getting back, though, to the more national issue, these are some of the character traits, okay, that Chazal, again, don't necessarily assign to every single person, but perhaps on a national level, or at least many, and certainly among the leadership, these are things which Chazal saw. Now, in terms of strife with Klal Yisrael, we saw two examples, in joining up with Yishmael joining up with Bavel, and then joining up with Edom. We find an interesting discussion in the Gemara Sanhedrin, Sadi Aleph Mad Aleph, 43. Shuv Pam Achaz Bo, B'nai Yishmael, B'nai Keturah, Lodom Yisrael Lifnei Alexandrus Mokdon. Alexandrus Mokdon is known in English as Alexander of Macedonia. Mokdon, Macedonia. Alexander the Great. Okay? And it had a Taina. Omro Lehem, the B'nai Yishmael, said, Eretz Kanan Shalana V'Shalachem. Eretz Yisrael belongs to us and the Jews. We have a share in Eretz Yisrael also. Okay? Two-state solution. We belong here too. Okay? How do we know? Because it says, at the end of the Sedra, we started with those two. We hear in the end of Chai Sor, it says, Ve'ela Tolz Yishmael Ben Avram. In the beginning of next week, said just says, and then the parsha told those, says, Ve'ela told Yisman Avram. So we're also the same. So then a certain individual, I'm saying the Gemara outside by the name of Gvia ben Pasisa, told the Chama, I'll answer the Taina, that we had this court case in front of Alexander the Great. And so I'll answer, it says, the Psukim again, we saw in source number 8, that Avram gave Yitzhak all of his everything, and he just potted up the others with gifts and so on. That's why it's ours. And that was the victorious comment. But in any event, what do we see here? We see that the Yishmael was striving against the B'nai Yishmael, were striving against the B'nai Yisrael for the land of Eretz Yisrael. And that's an important concept, of course, which relates to this day. Now, you could argue that that's a two-state solution. They have a chelik also. Okay, eventually, you know, Alexander the Great wrote it down. That's what Rashi says over there in 44. Fine. The Marshal, though, makes an interesting comment. It wasn't just they were asking to split the land. Marshon Sanhedrin, Sadi Aleph Amad Aleph, Tiv Masrael El Tolz Yishmael, 45. What they were asking for was no. They Tana, they're the Bechor. They're older. So they get Pishnayim. They get 2/3 of the land. We get 1/3. It wasn't an even two-state solution. Maybe that's what they're proposing now too. I don't know. But they want 2/3 of the land because they're the Bechor. And they had a Tana. They said, you know, even if our mother was the hated one, we have the Psukim there in Parshat Yisaita, I didn't quote them, but you have to give the double portion if the Bechor is born to the lesser of the two wives, the wife that the husband likes less. Nonetheless, you have to give him a double portion. That's what they argued over here. Okay? That was their taina. So what they really wanted was the double portion. And that's really the Marshal says it, but it's in the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah here in Chai Sar. Parsha Samech Aleph of Zion. Okay? Bimei Alexander's Mokdon, same story. In the days of Alexander the Great, Bo B'nei Yisrael La'ora Al Yisrael Al Bechora. They wanted the Bechora. They wanted the double portion. They wanted to be the primary residents of Eretz Yisrael. And that's nothing doing. That's how we refuted them by saying Avram divvied up the land and he gave away what he wanted to give away to whoever he wanted to give away to. So there you see, an example of the B'nai Yishmael going back in the days of Chazal, quarreling with Klal Yisrael over ownership of Eretz Yisrael and demanding not only an equal share, but a double portion. Now, again, now we know the Yishmael does come from Avram, but Pasuk says in Tehillim, we know, 47, Kuf Mem Vav Pasuk Gimel, that's in from the Halukas, we say in Pesukah de Zimmer, Al Tivtuch with the Divim Benon Shein Lo Seshua, the Medrash Tilim, the Sokot of Medrash there in Mizmor Kuf Mem Vav in Osbeis in 48, says, you judge by your own deeds. Yishmael can't come say, well, listen, I'm from Avram too. No, but it goes by your own behaviors. It's just a point to keep in the back of your head. Now, here's an interesting thing though, because this really relates to the concluding segment of the Shir, will look at the Golus of Yishmael that we find ourselves in, or perhaps striving in right now in this war. There is a Gemara in Sukkah, Nun Beis, in Sukkah 49. Amar Rav Chana Bar Acha, Amar Amri de Beirav, Arba mischaret alena Kadosh Baruch Hu shavram. There are four entities which Kadosh Baruch Hu quote unquote regrets. You have to understand how that applies to Kadosh Baruch Hu regret. Not a topic right now. Kadosh Baruch Hu is sorry, quote unquote, that he did it. That he created. Elan one is Golos. Two, the Kastim, that's the Babylonians. The Yishma'elim are listed there, and Yetzirah. So we find Golos associated with Yishma'elim, and Kadosh Baruch Hu regrets. Why? Okay, and where does Yishma'el fit in to any of the Golios? So any of the exiles the Jewish people are destined to have to live through. So we usually assume that there were four exiles, again, not including Mitzrayim, because that was before they were in Eretz Yisrael. But once driven out of Eretz Yisrael, we generally assume and talk about Arba Golios, four exiles, okay? And that is the Golos of Bavel, the Golos of Paras and Madai, you know, from Purim, Chel, Paras and Madai, the Golos of Yavon, and the Golos of Edom. And Yishmael is not in the mix. So let's take a look, for example, in Parsha Bereishis, Perak Aleph Pasuk Bey, says, "Aretzayis so vavo bechosh al panei zohom," etc. Ruach Elokim erachavet al panei amayim. The Medrash Rabbah there in Medrash Bereishis Rabbah Parsha Bey's Siman Dalet 51. Reb Shimon Lakish Posar Karya Begolios says this pasuk right at the creation of the world already hints to the four Golios. Okay, and then with Psukim, I left out all the Psukim. We don't need them, but with Psukim, the Medrash says Tohu Zogolos Bavel, Bavohu Zogolos Madai. That's Paras and Madai. Bechoshech Zogolos Yavon. Al Pnei Sahom, Zed Golos Mamleches Harshah, that's referring to Edom. And then Ruach Elokim Rachev is the Ruach Shemelech HaMashiach. Okay. Avram Avinu, in Parshat Lech Lecha by the Bris Bein Absarim, when Avram was told in advance that his descendants are going to be in exile in Mitzrayim and subsequently. Pasuk says, Parash Perak Tesvav of Bereishis, Pasuk Yibayis 52, Vahiyah Shemesh Lavov is Sardema Nofel Avram, in a Ema Chashefa Gedola Nofel Asolom. Right, and Rashi there in Chumash 53 says in Parak Tzav Pasuk Beis, "Remez Letzaros V'Choshu Shal Golos." This is a reference to the darkness and despair of Golos. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabba in Parsha Lech Lecha, Parsha Mem Dalad Siman Yud Zayin 54 says, "Hine Ema Chashecha Gedola Nofelas Olav, Ema Zu Bavel, Chashecha Zu Madai, Gedola Zu Yavan, Nofelas Olav Zu Edom." And others switch it around. They say that Nofelas Olav is Bavel, Gedola is Madai, Chashech is Yavan, Eim is Edom, all based on Psukim. But again, a reference to these four Golios. Okay? Later on, in 2 weeks, we'll read Parshat Vayetze. Yaakov Avinu has a dream with the ladder. And it says, Malach Elokim, Olav Yardimbo, some go up, some go down. Right? Perak Chav Hei, Posek, Perak Chav Ches, I mean, Posek Yud Beis, Malach Elokim, Vinei Stula Mutzav Arzah, we know with the ladder, you know, going up to heaven. And the Medrash Vayikra Rabba, Parshat Chav Tes, Simon Beis, says, regarding that, the pasuk, Amr Shmuel Bar Nachman, Elu Sorei Umos Olam. These angels that he saw were the Sorei that Yaakov saw in that dream. They were the Sorei, the officers of the angels at Umos Olam. And who are they? He says, going up, right, and up and down. They would have ups and downs, right. So it says, originally, Shal Bava Olav Yored. Bava went up, they came down. Modai Olav Yored. Shal Yavan Olav Yored. Shal Edom Olav Yored. So up and they would go up and then fall. Okay, but again, a reference to those same four Golios. And Moshe Rabbeinu also. We find in Parsha Shmini, without the details, now 57, Parsha Shmini, Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim Dalet through Zion, talk about animals. We know that for an animal to be kosher, it has to chew its cud and have split hooves. The certain ones that have one and not the other. So four different species are listed that have one and not the other. Okay, most of them do not have split hooves, even though they chew their cud. The Chazir is the opposite. So the Medrash there in Vayikra Rabbah, the Parsha Shmini, Parsha Gimel Simon Hay, 58, Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman, Kol Neviim Ro Amalchus Pisukon. All the Neviim saw these four kings, four Golos, including Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's referenced and hinted in this post. Gomel is Bavel, Shafan is Madai, Arneves is Yavan, Chazir is Paras. Again, you find these four nations, and again, Yishmael does not seem to be one of them. Now, the primary place where we find the vision concerning these four kings and the four exiles, which they bring Bnei Yisrael into, is in Sefer Daniel. Perek Zayin, Psukim, Aleph through Zayin. It's in Aramaic. I'm not going to read them inside. In 59, Daniel had a vision, a dream, where he saw four wild, terrible, frightening animals. Okay, one which was similar to a bear, and one which is similar to a lion, one which is similar to a leopard. Okay, and they're frightening. And the Pasuk Zion, the last Pasuk I printed here in 59, Boss said, don't have to ask, I saw some other animal, and he doesn't say it doesn't look like anything. And it was very, very frightening. It had all kinds of teeth and horns and all kinds of things. Okay, and as you look at the end of Zion, he mishan them in kol chevosa. They're different. The animal like we've never seen, different than all the other animals. These animals all somehow symbolize the different exiles. So it's interesting. Look at Ibn Ezra. Parag Zion, Pasuk Yud Dalad, referring to these four. It's a little later Pasuk, but in 60. V'achaya ha-revius ha-neir hu-malchus Yishmael, says Ibn Ezra. Well, that's interesting. And he's saying that here in Daniel, the fourth exile, the final fourth exile, is Yishmael. Okay? And that's, again, he proves from different sources. The Malbim, full disclosure, there in Daniel, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, disagrees. 61, he says, most disagree. He says that the fourth Chayah Reviyosa, the fourth Chayah Reviyah, the fourth animal, Humachus Romi, is Rome. That's Edom. Kimoshi, Skimu, Rashi, Ramban, Baram, again, he quotes many Rishonim who hold like that. But even as is, you know, but as is an important commentary as well, he says to reference to Yishmael. And the idea, because earlier in Daniel in Perek Beis, there was a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, which also, that Daniel interpreted, also had to do with these four exiles. Okay, and again, he speaks about three types of animals, and three types of kings, rather, and the fourth king is the most powerful of all, and so on. So Ibn Ezra there in Daniel, Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed, the test, 63, because he's telling Yishmael it's going to follow him, and so on. Anyway, he also says, it's interesting, Yesh L'Smol, Eich Lo Hizkir Daniel Malchus Yishmael. Why does he mention Malchus Yishmael? There should be a fifth one, Yishmael. So he sticks to his guns, Yishmael should be in the mix. But at the end of the day, he suggests, again, without the details now, that Rome is not really a separate one from Greece. We think about it, the Roman Empire was really an outgrowth of the Greek Empire. So Ibn Ezra's position would seem to be that the Roman, that's not a separate Golos. That's the same one. The truth of the matter is the Greeks never actually exiled Bnei Yisrael outside of the land. Right, that was an exile, Hanukkah story. It was happening inside Eretz Yisrael. So he kind of seems to view the Greeks and the Romans together as one, and that leaves Yishmael as being the fourth. So that's an interesting approach. Even as again, not everybody agrees with that. The Malbim over there in Perek Beis, Pasuk Mem, talks about the fourth one being Malchus of Yishu, Malchus Romi. Okay, but anyway, it is an interesting comment. Ezra, if that's the case, Yishmael is in the mix as representing the fourth Gullahs that Bnei Yisrael have to live through and survive before the days of Mashiach. So it's a very important thing, and maybe that's what's now, again, the Gullahs of Yishmael. All right, interesting, at least according to Ibn Ezra. Even without that, though, even if you assume that Yishmael is not a separate one, but nonetheless, we do find Yishmael linked in with this fourth exile. There's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, 65. Lamanatzeach beneginus ala shminis, mizmor David. A funny expression, ala shminis. But the eight, so some say it's a reference to a certain instrument, an eight-string instrument that's called the shminis. But the Medrash Tehillim Shochet over there in mizmor, Perek Vav, by the way, without Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Beis and on is the Perek we say in Tachanun. Racham Echanach, Chatzim Echanach, that's where we don't say the first Pasuk, but we start with the second Pasuk. But anyway, that's where it is. So the Medrash Tehillim there, mizmor Vav, Pasuk Beis, Dover Acher, ala shminis, Al Arba Golios Shein Shmona Malchios. Okay. There were four exiles, but altogether eight kings. They're all in pairs. Hare Shmoni says why? Bavel and Kustin. Kustin are the Chaldeans. That's Babylonia, right? That was two different nations. Bavel and Kustin was one exile with two different nations. Modai and Paras. Now we know from Megillas Esther, Persia was Persia and Mede, right? Media. So Chel Paras and Modai. That's two. So it's two, that's four, right? Shtam Shein Arba, right? Yovan Umokdon. Yavon and Macedonia, that's so forth. And then Yishmael ve'Edom. See that? The Medrash Tehillim? Yishmael ve'Edom. So even if you want to hold, not like Ibn Ezra, that Yishmael is not the fourth exile is Edom, but it could well be that Yishmael is mixed into that fourth one as well. Okay? And we find the same idea in another Medrash Tehillim, Perek Yud Ches. The Pasuk there talks about 67. And so on. It speaks about the pains of death and the pains of the grave and the different mokshe moves, the traps of death and so on. So the Radak mentions a medrash. Radak there in Perek Yerches Pasuk Vav, Obedrash, Medaber al Arba Malchus. Again, a reference to Arba Malchios. And there too, the medrash says in Mizmor Yurches, Os Yud, Chevle moves is Bob of a custom. Nachle Bial, Lial, Modar Paras, Kevle Shol, Yovan Amokdan. Again, those same pairs. Mokshe Moves, Yishmael, Edom. So, a couple of different places. The Medrash Tehillim links Yishmael with Edom in terms of being the perpetrator, so to speak, of the fourth Golos. And later in the Oschav Gimel, Mizmor Yud Ches 69, it says, Elu, Enayim Ramos Tashmil, Elu Edom Yishmael, Shaholchim, Begasos Aruch Bolom. Again, they're similar. They have Gasos Aruch, and the conceit, and again, the power. That kind of conceit that comes from power. So therefore, we do see that Yishmael is very, very likely part of the fourth Golos, either separately, where Ibn Ezra seems to say in the Pesukim in Daniel, or paired up with Yishmael, with Esau, with Edom. And it could be that after we've gotten through one, could argue that Bizman HaZeh, we've crossed on past Edom. We have gotten past Edom. historically speaking, I'm talking about, right? And we're in the Golas that still exists from the Churban Bayis Sheni, but our primary beef as the Jews now is not with Edom, is not with the Christians, not with Rome, or the success of Rome, but rather with Yishmael. So you could say, like Ibn Ezra, that's really the fourth Golas now is the Golas of Yishmael, or even if you don't hold like Ibn Ezra, but the second part, so to speak, of Golas Edom is Edom and Yishmael, like these other Midrashim sort of link Edom with Yishmael. There's a very interesting pasuk. This is a suggestion. I'm suggesting we're thinking of where we should kind of view ourselves at the moment. There is a pasuk in Parshas Balak, so 70, a pasuk in Parshas Balak. The very end is when Bilam tries to curse the Jews and it doesn't work out. It turns into a brach. We all know the story. So the very end, when Bilam gets ready to go home, he gives sort of like a freebie and he sort of says certain various predictions about the, you know, about what's going to happen in Achas HaYamim in days to come. And then we have a funny expression in 70, Parak Chav Dalad B'midbar Pasuk HaGimel B'Chav Gimel V'Yisom Mishalo V'Yomar. He, you know, he picked up his prophetic oracle or whatever, and he said, Oi mi yichye mi sumo el. Oi. Like, oh, whoa, whoa, was to me. Oi. I still remember there was a fellow many, many years ago. I was a kid. And it was one of these years when Chukas and Balak were doubled up. And whoever this guy was, the Gabbai, and the regular person was the lane, didn't show up. Something happened, whatever. So this person had to lane Chukas and Balak together. And it was a very, very difficult to create a long, long laning, double cedar, and made a lot of mistakes. Had to be correct. It was a long time. Again, I was a little kid. But I remember when he got up to this post, he just said, like, he saw Michel Obama, Oi! Like, just yelled out, Oi! Like, woe is to me. But Oi, me, you see, me, you see, what does it mean? What does it mean? So Rashi said, what does the word ale mean? So Rashi says the word ale is short for ale, these, right? Oy mi yichya, who can survive? Who will live when sumo, when God places, lasim, when God places these things, the above things, right? That's what Rashi says there in Parakov Dalad of Bamidbar, Pasuk of Gimel there in Parash Bolak 71. Kevin shehiska shehis asher omer, oy mi yichya mi sumo, mi yachol yichayos es atzmo, mi sumo es ale, who can withstand all this, right? That's what Rashi said. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has an interesting interpretation. Kuf vav mod aleph in Sanhedrin 72. Yisrael mishalom amar oy mi yichya mi sumo el. In parentheses, Amar Shimon Lakish, Oy Misha Mechaya Atzmo B'Shem El. Somebody who gets his life force, so to speak, from claiming to be like God. That's what Rosh Lakish says. Yochanan says, Oy La La Oma Shatimtza B'Shah Shakosh Baruch Hu Sepidion upon him. Woe is to anybody who's going to be around when, and get in the way when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to redeem his children. He compares it to somebody trying to get in the way when a lion and a lioness are mating. You try and get in the way. Okay, you won't live long. So that's how Rashi says, Misumo El and so on. Okay, he says it's a mushal of a lost level. That's the whole thing. And, you can't be there, right? You don't want to be there. Who can hold it back? But it's interesting is the interpretation of Shimon Lakish. That was in parenthesis. I don't know. It's a Girsa problem, but he says, Oy Misha Mechaya Atzmo B'Shem El. Somebody says that he carries the name of God. Okay. So carries the name of God. The Alshif on that Pasuk in Parshas Balak, Parakov Dalat Pasuk of Gimel Bimber, verse 74, says, Vayisom Mishom Shomar, right? Oy miyachem sumo el, v'zeu oy miyo ish yichay machmas sumo el. Shesom el, he claims that he's fighting the wars of God. Okay, he doesn't serve God properly, but he claims he's fighting the wars of God. Well, we know about jihad, right? They claim that they're fighting the wars of God. And look at it, it's a fascinating thing, right? Which makes it very, very difficult to fight such an enemy because they claim they believe that they're fighting the war of God. Okay, and again, we also claim we're fighting the war of God. We don't. Okay, so the question, who's going to be right? We'll have to see how things turn out. But at the end of the day, that's a very, very difficult enemy. So those who say that they're carrying the name of God. And Rabbeinu Bachya makes a fascinating comment. It's written in the Pirkei of Elazar. Rabbeinu Bachya, there in Parshas Balak, Perikov Dala Pasuk, look at this, 75. Rabbeinu Bachya is a Rishon, the Talmud of the Rashbo. Okay, he writes, Miyachem Yisumo El. El is not like Rashi said, short for Ela. It's the name of Hashem. Okay, first, El Derech HaPshat, Minagzeres HaEla. Shat, like Rashi said. But El Derech HaMedrash, he quotes a Pirkei Avos, a Perek Lama that I printed in 76. He says, it's talking about Yishmael. Oy mi yisya mi sumo el Yishmael. Omar Bilam. Kol shivim lo shishim bar kosh baruch hu ba'olam alo som shmo el Yisrael vi Yishmael. There are two nations that have the name El, I'm saying now the Kel, right? The name of Hashem, embedded in their name, in their national name. There are only two nations, Yisrael and Yishmael. Right, and again, we know as we saw the pasuk early in Bereishis Perek Mem Zayin pasuk Yud Aleph, Hagar was told to give him that name. That name preceded his birth. Bikar Shmo Yishmael. Okay, Bikivon Shehishra Kol Baruch Shmo Yishmael Shmo Yisrael. Oy mi Yichyam Yisrael. Whoa! On top, who can survive that? That's the Pirkei Belezer. Okay, who can survive such an enemy that say that they're carrying the name of God? Right. Well, they claim to be carrying the name of God also. Okay, it's a holy war. And again, the Netziv insight of the Netziv there in Parshas Balak, Perchav Dalet, Posuk Chav Gimel. Oy miyachem Yisumael, hein kama umos olam kov shumachios, tachtom kedel harchiv mamacham. Many nations of the world conquer other nations for the purpose of expanding their territory, conquering more land, getting more taxes, and so on. Below Bixula Hashnis, they're not interested in destroying the people. They just want the people to be under them. That's what they're trying to do, right? And they want to destroy the kings, to defeat the kings. But lo ha'amo, not the populace. They want the populace of most nations of the world. They wage war to increase territory and to increase income or whatever tax. But they want people there. Says the Netziv on the second line of 77. Lo kein halochem b'shul amuna. Not people who are fighting religious wars. Hema lochem abdim kol mi she'eno mamin beloa kamosu. They want to get rid of anybody who doesn't believe what they believe in. Right, infidels. They want to eliminate everybody that gets in, that doesn't hold like them. They're not just in expanding territory. That's what Bilam saw and yelled out. They want to claim they're fighting the wars of God. Very powerful statement. Makes it very, very challenging. Again, this is the Bnei Yishmael, many of them, not all of them. And there are different interpretations in the Quran as to what it means to kill the infidels. But many, certainly the extremists, follow this position. And then Netziv, again, 100 years ago, knows about this. And he says, they carry the name of God, right? Misumoel, like Yishmael and Yisrael. Just mentioned as a side point. I did hear, and I could not remember where I heard it, or so a long time ago. It's true that both Yishmael, like the Pirkei Avot says in Perek Lamed, in Surah 76, and when Abachi there in Balak quotes it, but it's true that Yishmael does have the name of God. But it's a very basic difference. You look very carefully. Yisrael, the Tzered, the two dots, the A sound, is under the Lamed. Yisrael. With Yishmael, the A sound is not under the Aleph. It's under the Ayin. Yishmael. Okay, the Aleph is silent. In a certain sense, one could argue it's not really the name of God. The real name of God is by us, Yisrael. Because that's the name of Hashem. They don't have, the Aleph is missing, and there's no vowel. You look in how Yishmael is spelled, there's no vowel under the Aleph. The vocalization, the A sound, the Tzere, is under the Ayin. An interesting point. They think they're carrying the name of God. Interesting point. Again, I don't remember where I saw that. I also want to mention as a side point, what do they say? What do all our enemies say? Not just them, right? Parshas Kisavu, we all know the Pasuk, the Varim Perkovov, Pasuk Kain. Vanisove Amarta, Lifnesh Malkecha, Rami Oved Avi, right? That's a loved one wanted to wipe out Arami Oved Avi. What does it mean, Arami Oved Avi? You know the Pasuk from Haggadah and Pesach, the centerpiece Pasuk, right? Pikesh Lovan Lakars Akol. What does it mean? Oved Avi, or Meir Shapiro, I heard this in his name, you know, the founder of the Yeshiva Chachma Lublin, and the one who introduced the concept of Daf Yomi, you know, in the 1920s. So the Meir Shapiro said, Oved Avi, they want to separate ourselves, separate us from our God. Oved, they want us lost from God. You're not a nation. You're not a religion. You have no land. You are no people. You own nothing. Okay, that's what they want to do. They want to drive us out from the, you know, from the river to the sea, etc. We have no place. We have no home. Oved Avi, Oved with Aleph. They want us to be lost from our God. That's again a puzzle. Not just talking about Yishmael only, but against all of our enemies. But an interesting point. Another point of Yishmael, just to give you the idea. Okay, we believe, of course, the end of Perek Ayin Tes. You know, unfortunately, Pasuk Dalet, you know, Cherpel Ishchenenu. We're embarrassed, right? And therefore, we have to say in Pasuk Yud, Loma Yom Agreba Eloheim, where is our God, right? Nikom Leinenu, Yivoda Bagam Leinenu, Nikmas Damar Shofo, Anach Am Chavetzon Marisecha. That's what we have to do. We consider ourselves, we're not separated from God. We have to appeal to him to please reveal himself and show us. Okay? Interesting, another Pirkei Avot, Perek Lamed Beis 80. Loma Nikro Shmo Yishmael. Why is he called Yishmael anyway? Again, the Malach told Hagar to name him Yishmael. She'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishmoa b'kol na'akas ha'am. Because in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear the cry of the people. Mima shasidin b'nei Yishmael lasos ba'aretz ba'achris hayamim. How do you like that? The Pirkei Avot Elezer. Okay? The time will come where we'll scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he'll hear our tefillahs. When we cry what Yishmael does to us. And that's why it's called Yishmael. And the Medrash refers to, in Perek 11, it refers to Pasuk and Tilim, Perek Nun Hei, Pasuk Chav 81. Yishmael, two different words. Beyond him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kael, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will hear and will answer. But what is he answer? It's going to cause us to scream. It's going to cause us to yell out in pain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we're trying now. In tefillah and the sorrow and anguish, we're calling out. Over 1,000 people killed in one day. Never happened before in the lifetime of most of us. Certainly not since the Holocaust, right? 1,000 Jews, more than 1,000 Jews killed in one day. You know, on October 7th on Simchas Torah, Shmei Atzeres. Yeah. So we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Yishmael. As the Chazal said long ago, that we're going to cry, Masha Osidim B'nai Yishmael, Lasos Baritz, Ba'akris Hayomim. Another very interesting thing. There's a pasuk, another interesting Rabbeinu Bacha. There's a pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, Dorm Perak Lamed. It's a pasuk, a famous pasuk. Gomorrah Shemesh Levocha is Levav Zaracha, Kodesh Baruch Hu bring us back. We'll do tshuva. La'avos Hashem Alkecha, B'chol Levavcha, Wal Zerav, Wal Chayecha, good. And V'nosa Hashem Alkecha is Kala Osa Eila, Al Oyvecha V'al Sonecha Asher Debucha. All the punishments will come upon Oyvecha V'sonecha, who have pursued us. So Rabbeinu Bacha there in Parshas Nitzavim, Dorm Perak Lamed, pasuk Zion 83. What's the difference in Oyvecha and Sonecha? Enemies and those who are enemies, those who hate you. There's two things, right? That pasuk says al oyvecha, al sonecha. So what's the difference in the two? So first he says, and I didn't find a makor for it, but he writes oyvecha Yishmael, sonecha Esav. Oyvecha is a reference to Yishmael, sonecha is a reference to Esav. And he quotes a pasuk in Micha. It also mentions double language like that. These are the two nations under whose thumb we are. And he says, what's the difference in Oyvecha and Sonecha? What Oyvecha is Yishmael and Sonecha is Esav? Says Rabbeinu Bacha, right in the 1200s. Masha Hiskir Oyvecha Yishmael Sonecha Esav. Mipshah Mipesha Oyev Godol Min Asone. An Oyev is worse than a Sone. Ki Asone Apo Bisharilo Yasal Derech Arfons. A Sone will do things. There'll be some Rachmanis. There'll be some regret. Okay, and I'm not justifying for even a tenth of a millisecond. Okay, anything Nazis did, but they tried to hide it. Right, they were embarrassed. They tried to cover it up, tried to hide it. I heard that Nazis who killed Jews would go at night and get drunk because of what they did. Not so these people. Not so the Hamas people. Very proud of what they did, going and killing Jews and boasting about it, taking pictures of it and so on. Very different. He says, who shabalibo eva olamis, permanent hatred. Okay, and again, I'm not talking about everybody, obviously, but some. Lo yosim l'rachim, no mercy. Al zokin yachbid al ulav ma'od. They'll oppress younger. They'll kidnap, older people. They'll kidnap older people. Okay? And listen to what he says. Ki oyev hu miloshon avoy. Right? Oyev is from the same letters, avoy. And because al shay al shanofo biyado tsoik, oyev avoy. That's Rabbeinu Bacha. It's not a chassidish of our. Rabbeinu Bacha is writing in a Rishon that the word oyev is reminiscent of oyev avoy. Woe unto us. How horrible it is when dealing with that. And he writes to Mesha b'nei Yishmael, cautionly saw Yosef b'nei Esav, lechach nikra kosev evecha. Very powerful words from Rabbeinu Bacha. Okay? So just to, again, we get the idea of we're now fighting against Yishmael. Okay? And again, perhaps there are others who, among the b'nei Yishmael who will point things in a different direction. But right now things are very difficult. We have this idea that we've seen that screaming caused by Yishmael, but they'll do it achris hayom, screaming. And the idea of miyachem yisumo el, that they claim to be fighting the wars of the Lord and so on and so forth, a religious battle and so on, and no mercy on the enemies. And this idea that Rabbeinu Bacha writes that they're called oivim because they make us scream oiv avoy, woe unto us, is horrible. Okay? So it's very interesting. Two other comments in the Pirkei of Elezer. Okay? But I want to add one thing on my own. If you look in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bris Ben Absarim, Perak Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Ches. Right after the Brisbane of Sarum, by Omo, Karas Hashem and Sarum, Brisley more, Lezaracha, Nasatias Oratazos, I've given this land there to Shol to your descendants. Very nice. That's in Park Tetzel. Park Yud Zion, two Prokem later in Parsh Lechaha, Brismila, that was the Brisbane of Sarum, this was Brismila. Brismila also, it says, Park Yud Zion, Postgres, Nasati Lechol, Zaracha, Rechacha, Eseretz Megurecha, Eseretz Canaan, Lachuzas Olam, a permanent inheritance. And it says, and in the next post test, Atov is Aracha, Acharecha, Lador Osam, and you can do the Brismila. So it's interesting. The Bris Ben Absarim, it doesn't say Achuzas Olam, permanent. It just says you'll get the land. But it doesn't say it's going to be permanent. By the Bris Mila, two Prokem later, it says permanent. Well, Achuzas Olam, permanent. What's in between Perak Tesvav of Lech Lecha and Perak Yud Zayin of Lech Lecha? Well, it's just Perak Tesayin, right? But what's in Perak Tesayin? The birth of Yishmael. And I'm suggesting that maybe the Torah is teaching us, we'll get Eretz Yisrael. We've got Eretz Yisrael. But when we want it to be permanent, the second Bris, by Bris Mila, to get the Achuzas Olam, we have to first get past Yishmael. We have to get through Yishmael first. So we've gotten the land. We returned to the land. We returned to the land, 75 years ago and earlier. Okay, we returned to the land. But in order for it to be permanent, we first have to get past Yishmael. Maybe that's also included in this entire prophetic point. The Pirkei of Elezer, Perek Lamed, okay, says that there's going to be three wars, that three destructive wars that B'nai Yishmael are going to do in the end of days. And it mentions Psukim to back it up. Okay, and at the end it says, Sham ben David Yitzhak, the Yerba Abdon shall elevate. Then the Ben David, Mashiach Ben David will come and will see the destruction of all our enemies, and he'll come to Eretz Yisrael. And a per kafkes of Pirkei Avot is the same, similar idea. It speaks about the four Malchus. Once we get past the four Malchus, right, it mentions all the Psukim we mentioned before, that Daniel mentioned before, there'll still be something else in the way. And look what it says. All of, there'll be a fifth. Whether you count it or not, we discussed already. The Pirkei Avot suggests a fifth. Not exactly like the other four, but something else. Again, from words in that pasuk by the Brisman of Sarim, Olav, Ela b'nei Yishmael, Shalem ben David Yitzhak. It's that's Yishmael, the fifth one. But from there, ben David Yitzhak. So I conclude with a fascinating Balaturim, the very last Balaturim in this Sedge of Parshas Chayesor. Next week's Sedge of Parshas told us, Parakof hei pasuk yutas and Rachel begins, Ela told us Yitzhak and Avram, Avram, holiness Yitzhak. The beginning of Parshas told us. So we, when we think of two Sedges, and we always think, okay, then we don't connect them. But really, the first pasuk of Sedra B comes immediately after the last pasuk of Sedra A, obviously. And here it's even in the same parak. You look, the very last pasuk of Parshas Chayesor, back in Source 1, is Parakof hei pasuk yutas. Right up the death of Yishmael, play Kolachov Nafal. And now Pasuk Yotes. Ela told us Yitzman Aron. It's juxtaposed, one Pasuk right after the other. Again, we don't always see it that way because there's a parsha in between. It's a whole week in between, a sedge in between. But it's juxtaposed. So the Balaturim writes, and with this will finish. Balaturim in Chayesor, and Perkafei, Pasuk Yotes. Al play Kolachov Nafal. That's the very end of Parsha's Chayesor. Besomechlov, Ela told us Yitzchok. It's juxtaposed immediately to the pasuk beginning of Ela told us yesterday, beginning of Parshas told us, Lo malacha, kishe yipol Yishmael ba'achris hayomim, when Yishmael finally does fall down, Azaz Yitzmach ben David, should be told us Yitzchak. Then Mashiach ben David, who's descendant, of course, of Yitzchak, will come forth, will sprout forth. And so that's what we hope, that in this battle with Yishmael, that will emerge victorious, and we'll see the downfall of Yishmael, the destruction of Yishmael, those who deserve to be, you know, to be taken down. And from there will come Mashiach ben David, and it should happen in the Meher of Yameinu. Thank you very much for listening. I wish everybody a good week.